Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths. And today I am really excited and delighted to welcome back to the show my friend Tony Robleski, who is the best-selling creator of the Mind Capture book series. I've read them all. He's got a new one out, though. I just lied to you. He's got a new one out that I haven't read, but I just ordered. So today he is here to share insights from the new book that I just mentioned, which is called Trailblazers, Leadership Lessons from 12 Pioneers Who Beat the Odds and Influenced Millions. And today he joins me to share what 12 very different yet highly successful trailblazers did to achieve massive worldwide success, not local, but worldwide, despite setbacks, critics, and other unique challenges during their climbs. And they positively influence millions of people per year. Now, he's got a lot to share, so I'm going to try to get through a few key points here. He's going to share 7 key characteristics that these trailblazers all have in common, what they are, and why are they so important, why the road to successful leadership often is filled with lots of short-term failure and rejection. We were just talking about that in the green room. And why patience, productive habits, and dogged persistence are essential traits to sustain success in a world that, right now, we all know this. We're dealing with short-term attention spans and instant, I want it now, everything thinking, and so much more. So I am not going to keep yammering on. Tony, welcome back. It's so exciting to have you back.
Well, hey, thank you again for the invitation, and big fan of your work, Denise. So excited to be on this call.
Oh, thank you so much. As we were chatting in the group, my virtual green room, I was telling you, I'm exhausted watching you. This has really been, in many ways, your year, hasn't it?
Well, thank you. I think a couple things that come to mind is I always give credit to the higher power, God. And my faith walk is no mystery to a lot of folks that have been around my universe. But, I have to give credit to higher power first, caffeine second, and an incredible passion for this thing that I do. I love to teach, Denise. And I want to, again, give everybody a quick thank you for catching us right now, real-time live as we record, or if you're catching this later. But I appreciate the gifts of your time and attention, not only you, Denise, but anyone that's listening, anywhere I teach or do interviews or do Skype calls or do live trainings in front of live audiences. The attention problem is getting worse, as you indicated. I call it mind capture. So I'm always honored. I always bring my A game the best I can. And yes, it's been very, very busy. Hopefully more productive than some days that feel like you're just kind of stuck in the mud. You get this. But, very fortunate that a lot of great people believe in what I do, the higher power, obviously, and also a lot of great fans and promoters and meeting planners that say, look, we like what you do. So it's a team effort. So yes, thank you. But there are a lot of people involved, as you know.
I do know. And, I love that you express such gratitude to so many people. A lot of people do it, but they don't do it out loud. They don't think to. I'm guilty of this. And when I say they, I'm really speaking of me. It's just easy to go, hey, that was great. Thanks so much. And then move on to the next, stomping out of fires. So I love that you took the time to just express that very broad-based gratitude. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, so you've got a ton of stuff to share. So my plan here, just so you know, my plan is to mute myself and let you rock and roll. Now I'm going to jump in and go, Tony, what about this? You know me. You know how we converse. But for the most part, I really want you to share as much as you can with our audience, because we've only got about 55 more minutes, and I don't want to cut into that. So what do you want to kind of tackle first? Do you want to address I'm going to reverse that. How did you come to write this book? I know you've written a series of these, but what was it about this one that made it so important? Because you did call down a lot of information to get to these 12 people. So, you know, if you don't mind sharing a bit about how the book came to be and then just kind of dive into where you want to go.
Well, thank you. I think it's a great question to set the stage where we're going to travel on this journey. And here's the deal. I have coaches, and this was probably now, Denise, 5 or 6 years ago. And for those that are tuning in anywhere in the world, live or post-live interview, is I love knowledge. I'm on a quest for it. I love to teach, disseminate. I look for patterns. And one of my coaching calls, this would probably have been 4 or 5 years ago, was with Jim Palmer. I love Jim. Got to give him credit. You give those that brought you to the party credit. That's the first rule of leadership, I believe. Always thank people. And Jim and I run a coaching
call. He's my guest next week.
Very casually. Oh, he's awesome. Love Jim. So Merry Christmas to Jim and
Ed. He was my coach for a while, too. Yeah.
Yep. And Jim at the end of a coaching call one day said, Tony, you know, I was talking about the direction of the next book. He said, well, you got all these interviews. I said, yeah. And he goes, well, there's a lot of gold in those interviews. And literally, like in 30 seconds, Jim identified the vision of what I had thought was going to go one direction. But he gave me another vision to look at and consider. It was like, I hung the phone up. I went, oh, my goodness. You just know, Denise. And I said, this is where this next book should go. It doesn't mean I flip-flop, but it made too much sense. And I just hung up the phone. I said, oh, my goodness. The answer for the next book is right there in front of you. You just didn't see it. So first note for those that are listening or taking notes, be careful if you're driving here, is look for blind spots in wise counsel. So what Jim did that day is he said, look, there's something not seen. It's not a bad thing. And he had enough wise counsel as a coach where I could trust him. Again, I make my own decisions at the end of the day and I pray on these things, but a good coach will give you opportunities and point them out. So I just hung up the phone and said, there it is. I just knew. So why it's relevant for those that are listening, here's my first potential idea. Is success leaves clues. Tony Robbins said that many years ago. A lot of marketing that we've built to promote the book is I say, great. I love Tony Robbins. I've met him. I'm looking at a picture of him right here in my office right now. Met him like 20 years ago. In this new book, Trailblazers, we reveal those clues, those successful clues, or those 7 key characteristics, which we'll talk about. So as I get these interviews, I'm going through them, like you said, Denise, it's like, where do we start? I've been blessed to get over 125, 150 people now at this point as we tape this to let me go an hour with them on the phone. Most of them are done via telephone. Some I do face-to-face, but I prefer the format like we're doing, one-to-one, with full safe harbor to say, look, let me ask some good questions that I'll give you in advance. And most interview guests say, hey, you know, that's great, but we freeform. And I always make sure the guest feels comfortable that if I ask some questions that aren't designed to ever trick them, but to go really, really deep, they're okay to share that. So narrowing this down was really tough. So we came up with what we call 12 trailblazers or leaders. And there's a 13th trailblazer who you and I both know very well named Brad Zales. So Brad was the bonus trailblazer. So his work to me, millennials, managing the generations, is just so far ahead that obviously companies, I refer to him all the time, book him to speak because I'm like, if you want to talk about managing the generation, there's your go-to. And you talk about life imitates art, full circle here. Tony Robbins, a few years ago, reached out to Brad and said, we want to interview Brad. So I find the intersection of talent and how small this world is to be fascinating, Denise. That, you know, 10, 11 years ago, I read his manuscript and said, there's the future. This guy's on to something. And it took Tony, I kind of joke with live groups, 6 or 7 years later to catch on to it. So it's fun to see these trailblazers at their different progressions or stages of growth and influence when I catch them. So here's why I think it may be of interest to the audience again. These clues are things that we already do, Denise. We already have these traits. I'm in the reminding business as I speak all over the world and say, look, a lot of this is common sense, but in this very sped up, noisy, digital, shiny, ADD world that we're in, which you got to be candid, distraction is lurking every corner, we forget these traits, these characteristics. And again, in the reminding business, it's not uncommon to be in front of a group of 500 people and they look at me like, wow, this isn't really brand new. However, we forgot. Or these are things we do really well that we should focus even more of our time and our day on because the challenges of distraction are getting mind capture are getting harder and harder. So I know that's a lot to kind of open up our time together, but I think it really sets the stage as we dive down these characteristics and meet these trailblazers that they're stories. Like Zig Ziglar taught me, you know, the facts tell, but the stories sell. Their stories are powerful. Many times as I've been sharing these on a U.S. book tour this fall and into 2019, the stories are what people remember. They catch a few of the characteristics, obviously, but the stories, one or two may resonate with someone differently in the audience than a different story or two that I might tell. And to me, that's how we learn, Denise. We're so overwhelmed that sometimes that story captures someone's imagination and influences them in ways that we sometimes just can't see. So how's that?
I love it. And Zig Ziglar, I mean, honestly, and I think I've shared this story with you one time. I was at a garage sale. I love garage sales. My home is furnished with what I call early garage sale and antiques. You know, it's just, yep, it's all the same thing, right? But I saw, mm-hmm, this plastic binder. This was a number of years ago. And I saw this plastic little weird-looking binder, and I thought, what in the world was that? And I opened it up, and I either 8 or 12 cassettes, you know, and, mm-hmm, I went, what in the heck is a Zig Ziglar? I had no clue. I was just fascinated. It was 50 cents. I had to buy it. What is a Zig Ziglar? Yep. I didn't know. I plugged in that. I got in the car, plugged it in, went, oh, and I fell in love with his voice. And then I fell in love with his wisdom. And then I just fell in love with him. And he has been, yep, an abiding presence in my life for many, many years now. But now I know what a Zig Ziglar is, and I still have that binder, and those cassettes are yellow. I don't even know. I don't have anything, yeah, I can play them in, but you know what? I have amortized that 50 cents over and over and over again, and I'm never giving that little binder up.
Right,
it's a very, I'm telling you, it's a treasured possession, because every time I see it, I smile. So there's lessons, yeah, there, right?
Absolutely. So Zig Ziglar passed on, I think, 9 or 10 years ago. I'm not exact, but I know it's been a few years. And you talk about a trailblazer. If there had been one that I could go back besides Jim Rohn the last 10 or 12 years, those two I'd love to have a conversation with. And I've met them both. I spent a full day with Jim Rohn back probably 21, 22 years ago. And, you know, Jim used to teach that's the day that turns your life around. Something happens, a pivotal moment, a type A. And I look back now and I knew in my early 20s, that was a big day. And now 20 years fast forward to present day as we tape, I still have the notebook and all my original handwritten notes and the dates from that seminar. And that thing to me is treasured. And at some,
exactly,
point that will be passed down to my children, and maybe who knows where it goes. But those early influences, you know, from other books such as the Bible to other personal development books that have shaped me, to actually meet and study with these people, and now when looking backward that they passed on to the other side, it's just, you realize, wow, right room, right time, right people. And to spend that day with Jim Rohn was amazing. I've seen Zig several times speak, and, you know, we don't take those things for granted. So very, very fascinated and grateful for that.
Exactly. Okay, let's talk about you, and you talk about this a lot, the 7 key characteristics. Can, mm-hmm, you run those down? I think I know what they are. In fact, I'm pretty sure I do. But if you'll run that,
yep,
down for the audience, I would love that.
Well, what we did, Denise, it's a great question. Is we went through and I said, what are the patterns? Again, success leaves clues. And it reminds me almost paralleling what Stephen Covey did. His work's epic, you know, the 7 key habits of highly effective people. I said, what are the 7 key characteristics these trailblazers have in common? So I looked for the patterns, overlap, and pretty much all of them have these key 7. So in respect to time, I'll hit the 7 here real quick, and if we want to dive into a couple specific ones, I'll let you kind of pick and choose like a buffet, Denise, of which ones you want to maybe focus on, but here are the 7. Number,
okay,
1, they have intense curiosity. Okay. 2, they have persistence. 3, they have vision. 4, they're lifelong learners. 5, they're problem solvers. 6, they focus on their strengths. And the 7th trait is thick skin. So real quick, intense curiosity, persistence, vision, lifelong learners, problem solvers, focus on strengths, and thick skin. That's quite a bit there, but those are the core foundations that leave the clues for us. So there's the 7.
And listen, as a solopreneur, as an entrepreneur, if you don't have, mm-hmm, all or most of those characteristics, you may make it, but I think your road will be a little bit tougher than it really needs to be.
Yeah.
And thick
skin.
I mean, when you said that, I was like, yeah. I mean, you have to grow that. You have to, you know, when somebody wants something that's completely unreasonable or irrational, you have to be kind and gracious. But you all have,
mm-hmm,
also have to say, look, this is, you know, not my zoo, not my monkey. You know,
yeah,
you,
well,
have
one,
to back
one of the
down
trailblazers,
stop trying to bug me.
Yeah. Well, one of the trailblazers, Denise, and that's a very good point, is Dan Kennedy. And it took me 20 years to get him to let me interview him. He's a, you know, I call him the marketing trailblazer. But if you talk about a guy, and I talk about his story in all my live talks as well, that exemplifies the seventh trait of thick skin, Dan Kennedy would be the poster child. He'd be on the T-shirt, per se. And I say that out of massive respect because I've been around Planet Dan, as he calls it, for 23 years. He's interviewed me 3 times. But yet it took me 20 years to get him to let me turn the microphone on him. And here's why I think thick skin and his story is so powerful. Dan, in the 70s, was such a firebrand that he got kicked out of NSA. So a lot of our audience don't know what that is, but some do. It's National Speakers Association, not the government entity, but National Speakers Association, because he was so far ahead with his practices about teaching and speaking from the stage that they thought it was illegal. So they kicked him out. He sued them, successfully beat them, and got reinstated back into NSA. And now all of his practices that were considered voodoo or taboo are considered industry standard. Go figure. In addition, there's a story he tells that I tell live as well. It's just too good not to share. But in the late 70s, he was given a talk at a real estate office in Phoenix. He's looking out the window in front of all these real estate agents, and he hears this beeping. Beep, beep, beep. He looks, and his car is being towed by a tow truck, repoed, because he's broke. So he goes, hold on, everybody. He runs out in front of the room, and he goes to his car, and he grabs all those cassette tapes, like we were talking about Zig Ziglar, of his and all his books, and he runs right back in to the front of the room and proceeds to teach, and then ends up selling most of his books and cassettes. Process the picture and the story I just painted. If I'm in the audience, I'm going, what in the world is this guy doing? Okay, really? He can't make his car payment, but yet he went out and grabbed his stuff, and I end up buying his stuff if I'm in the audience. I like what he said because he's that good. So that takes a lot of kahunas, Denise, if you think about that story.
It does.
To just stay on
and
point.
And not only did, I mean, he grabbed his...
Right. On point, you know what I mean?
Most people would be going, they would be, you know, trying to bargain with the tow truck driver, you know, without any success whatsoever. But, you know, I mean, he grabs the stuff that's important, says, man, the car's replaceable, but this isn't. Back into the building. That's amazing. I don't know how many people truly would have the presence of mind not to lose their mind.
Well, and then to think also on top of what
funny.
Is the audience thinking? Think of the incongruency if you're sitting in the audience teaching how to be successful, and he's like, hold on, I got to get my stuff because my car is about to disappear. So
I can just
wow.
guess that half thought it was a charitable donation, and the other half were like, you know, this guy's got guts. Got to give him that. Let's see what happens.
So the thick skin, you know, all the trailblazers have it, but Dan Kennedy – to me, and again, I've known him for years, full disclosure, I've studied with him, I've invested a lot of time and dollars because he's one of the best, arguably, they call him the millionaire maker for a reason, the top copywriter on the planet. He's like the Picasso, very, very hard to reach, very much like a recluse, but his work is legendary. If you can get to him to give the audience some perspective, it's going to cost you or invest a lot of money if he even wants to work on a project to write copy, online or offline. And typically he's going to say, you know, I'd like a piece of equity too. That's just how legendary he is. His reach online, if you look at a lot of the online promotions, a lot of the info marketers, Denise, that you see hopping around on YouTube or their Instagram and Facebook ads, they all study or they point their direction back to him. And I know it sounds shameless, but he is that good. And he's directly influenced me immensely, where to the point not a day or two goes by where I say, you know what, Dan Kennedy taught me that, or Dan would say that, or hey, here's a technique I learned from Dan Kennedy. So again, as we opened up the interview, without a shadow of a doubt, as Jim Rohn taught me, the meeting Dan Kennedy 23 years ago was the day that turned my life around and still influences me to this day.
And see, you recognize this. And I love that you say that you're kind of in the reminder business, because I was having a very long talk with my business partner last night, who worked with Tony Robbins for 12, 13 years. I mean, she was in his inner circle for all those years. And I was telling her last night, and you know, we were kind of talking about my upcoming interview with you because she also follows you. And I said, you know what I have done, and shame on me. And it was a belated realization as a result of this podcast and getting to know people like you and Brad and Jim Palmer and all the wonderful, terrific people that I interview. I have not really taken advantage of their wisdom or done anything with it, and shame on me. And I'm just going to say that out on the air. I mean, I get to meet the darndest people from all over the world, and I've kind of fallen into the habit of, you know, at the end of the show, I call you and I say, hey, thank you. You know, let's keep in touch. Is there anything I can do? And there it ends. And I was really slapping myself around last night because, you know, I read your stuff and I know what you're doing and I know what you've done with these interviews. And I went, okay, I think I just learned a big lesson from Tony. So anyway, watch me. Watch me in 2019. I'm going to be doing not what you're doing, obviously, but I'm going to take some lessons that I've learned from you and put them to good use. So just so you know. And if it fails, I will not blame you. I'll blame me. But if it's
really good, let me say this, you will get full credit.
I'm not going
to fail. First of all, congratulations, and I'm honored. And here's a big point I want to throw back to you. I think this will hit all of us, myself included. Who is the biggest critic that we have in our businesses? Think about this.
Point the finger right back at. Yep. Me.
Absolutely. Our self-talk, we're our own worst critics. And something I say in this book and in a lot of the work we've been teaching on the road and in interviews is, you know, we have our own inner critic, which is right there constantly, the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, constantly either attacking or working against us, or sometimes it works for us. So we have to monitor the internal chatter. But it also is something external that I know all of us that are in social media that have to be out there getting our message out with different social media channels is this. You know, the critic, he or she revels and enjoys picking apart your dream versus working on their own. There's a lot there, everywhere. You know, I get a lot of folks saying, hey, what we see on social media. I'm very grateful that most people that are in my circle, because you can pick and choose social media who's your friend or not. However, certain media that people like you, they follow you, we have freedom of speech. It's a beautiful thing. A lot of my philosophy is very libertarian. If people ask politically, well, it's none of your business, but I lean more libertarian with I like freedom of expression. So it's how we respond or don't respond to social media criticism, personal criticism, people behind our back, I call those the critics, that ties into that seventh point again. What is your thick skin factor? And all these trailblazers, and let me just share the secret here. Everybody is a trailblazer. Not because I say these people are just the exclusive trailblazers. Everyone has these traits. It's my definition, Denise, if you cut to the chase of leadership. What are these leadership skills, or what do these trailblazers do differently? So this is not an exclusive club. Where it's different, where I digress a little bit, is these trailblazers get in front of a lot of people. They influence millions daily. Some are much more out there that you may know of. Some are hidden behind the scenes. But they have a hand in influencing. I look at it from a positive disruption standpoint. I mentioned that with Dan Kennedy one time. He's like, I like that. That's how I roll. If you're going to be out changing things for the better, there's going to be people that don't like it. 80%, if not higher, the statistics vary, but that's a very good base point of our self-talk is usually negative. Most media, I can round that up to 90% on a good day, is negative in nature. So it's in our best, I would say, mind space to watch what goes in, to watch who influences us, and also monitor our own self-talk. That little monkey mind, as they say in the East, what's going on that chatter, and get around people, books, audio, CDs. You know, Jim taught me years ago that who you associate with those five key people really is an indication of how your life will turn out. Yeah, that's tough. That's not easy advice. It's real. Your circle of influence will constantly change, like the game of life or the bus. Certain people get on the bus at certain points, stay for fears, some for a few days, some for 20 or 30 years, a few decades. You just don't know. But that circle is directly influencing whether you choose to believe it or not. That's not easy advice, but that's reality. So kind of went off there.
I agree with you.
Life is not scripted. Not always scripted. We try our best, but people do come crashing in, crashing on the bus or off the bus. So there you go.
Right, as they should. And, you know, there really is no permanence in the human condition, and I wish people would understand that. You know, we are fragile creatures.
What did you just say? That was huge.
There's no permanence in the human condition. I think that's what
I meant. My goodness.
I tend to open my mouth and stuff comes out, and I'm like, okay.
Hold on. That's going
to
You can use it if you want.
Thank
you for that gift.
Okay.
I just wrote it down.
My pleasure. You can use it. But I have found this, I mean, through my life, we've had a lot of death in my family. People come, they go, I come, I go. You know, I'm not, I don't promise to be a key permanent fixture in anybody's life. It's up to you if you want to keep me around, not me. So, you know, I have always looked at life as being fleeting. We are fragile. You can die at any moment, truly. You can be coming home from work and not make it. You have to be, I think, every moment paying attention. The worst thing that I have found in my life is when I'm not paying attention to what I'm telling myself, and I run myself into walls like crazy. But when I stop, I take a breath, I go outside, and I'll say, okay, I'm experiencing, I don't know if it's Mary Kay or who it was, but she would call it stinking thinking. Or maybe it was Zig Ziglar. I don't know. Somebody said it. And when I said stinking thinking, that was Zig Ziglar's voice. So I think it was
him.
But I will catch myself, you know, and you get in a loop, don't you, Tony? It's like, oh, you're just keeping thinking that same idiotic thing over again. And I will go outside under my pecan trees. It's my favorite spot in my yard. Kick off my shoes. Doesn't matter if it's the mud season. Doesn't matter if the ground is frozen. I will kick off my shoes, dig my toes into that ground under those pecan trees, and just ground myself to the earth. And then I come back and I start with clean thinking. And I do this constantly, constantly. And sometimes if I can't go outside, I go to my refrigerator. That's how I meditate, open refrigerator door syndrome. You open those doors, you stick your head in, you don't have a thought in the world. You want to clean out your brain, open your refrigerator door.
Sometimes you just have to stop.
Do it.
Absolutely. If I could build off that, first of all, thank you for taking this and sharing that thought track. I'm 100% in alignment. It's something that a lot of the core of what I've been teaching for over a decade is this battle for attention or mind capture. And if you look at what's going on, I'm going to give a little sneak peek of a talk I gave in Washington, D.C. last week for a group of leaders. A big real estate company brought me in their year-end meeting, ownership team, all their high-level salespeople. And the CEO sent me back his notes. So here's what he said that I think kind of a sneak peek that ties in the attention problem. He said, look, there's seven challenges leaders face or trailblazers. He took this right off my slide. He said, number one, we have a 9-second attention span. That comes right out of the book from Sally Hogshead, one of the trailblazers. I call her the fascination trailblazer. Brilliant work she's doing down there, her books, New York Times bestseller, et cetera, et cetera. Put it this way, she knows her stuff. The second thing he put that are challenging leaders is multitasking is very overrated. Hard not to do. We're entrepreneurs. Most of us listening to this call are moonlighting. We have a side business. We have three companies. Maybe you're a full-time entrepreneur. But everyone's tasked with how do you switch the mental bandwidth back and forth between tasks. Third thing he put in here, the existence of digital ADD. We're addicted to our mobile phones, Denise. It's like the third extension or the third window. You have television, computer, now it's the phone. Everyone's got their phone. And heaven forbid if you lose your phone for a day or two, audiences will crack up. I see the body language like, oh, you know, it's the end times. I'm challenged with it too. Fourth thing he put in here. We're hit with 5,000 plus marketing messages per day in North America alone. That's a lot of air traffic. People saying, look at me, pay attention to me. I'm the best, the latest, the greatest. It's noisy freeway. Fifth thing he sent me. In addition, we have 50 to 60,000 self-talk conversations per day in our own brain. Scientists know this. So we just talked about, and I'll come back to you, how do you reset, re-anchor, and clear your mind? You just shared a couple techniques that are very proven and known. Sixth thing, by 2020, Brian Tracy told me this in the interview in the book. He's one of the trailblazers as well. By 2020, information is going to double every 3 days globally. Think of the volume of what he said a few years ago in the interview. It's happening. Here's why I know it. Think of all the content that people have to create. They have to get their message out there. They have to differentiate. We're adding more information during this interview right now live. And when we post it up, when we share it, when we archive it, so information is going to just become so overwhelming. How do we sort through it? And the seventh thing he put in the notes here, which was revealing from the talk in Washington last week with his team, was as a result, we're going to need more people to step up and become trailblazers. And that's where you and I intersect, Denise. That's where I intersect with that group in Washington live face-to-face in that boardroom. This is where the power of digital communication, I might be reaching one of your listeners in Thailand right now in real time, or maybe it's a month from now or 6 years from now. Someone pulls this interview up and they go, oh my gosh, thank you, Denise, thank you, Tony. We may never know the ramifications, but we still put it out there. We still try to differentiate and get the information to people. I want to go back on the same point here about attention. You mentioned something that is very powerful, is that you have to have pattern interrupts. Tony Robbins teaches a lot of this. Pattern interrupts is when you're having a stinking thinking moment, like Zig Ziglar would say. Thank you for that. How do you override your brain? How do you control your mind? Because an untamed mind is crazy. That's chaos. Just look at some of the issues in the planet we're on. Again, I'm not trying to be big picture here with save the planet, but a lot of things you see at a micro level are based on bad decision because someone's mind is literally out of control. So I want to throw this out. A future interview I'm going to go after for next Trailblazers books is a gentleman by the name of Michael Singer. And I have the book on my desk right now. I'm tapping it as we do this interview, called The Untethered Soul. And he talks heavily in the book. It's a book about spirituality and centering, about how we have to look at each day, that each day is a gift. Let me bridge into another trailblazer in the book, W.M. Paul Young. Wrote a book called The Shack. I call him the spiritual trailblazer. That book, Denise, has sold 20 million copies and counting. Became a major motion picture a couple years ago, which did very, very well. And also changed millions of lives. It's a book about God. It's a book about religion, per se. Not so much because he advocates you need to be religious. He talks about your spirituality. I will tell you, he's probably the most controversial one I put in the book, Denise, and here's why. His story was one of my personal favorites, one of my favorite interviews of all time. If you hear that interview, someone gets the book and says, hey, I want to read this book. At the end of each chapter, you have a link to hear all the full audio interviews unedited. And I've had more people tell me, and myself included, that said, holy cow, that was deep. What was going on in the interview? I don't know, but I'm glad we were taping, Denise. I will tell you this, at the end, I hung up the phone stunned. I almost cried 3 or 4 times in the interview. Okay, yeah, call me, you know, softy, call me very shallow, but the interview was deep, very real. You can't fake that. And the guy was so calm,
no.
So grounded, and so blown away by his book has gone on to become a motion picture that it sold 20 million copies. And I caught him a few years before The Shack hit the motion picture theaters. So I said to him, you know, W.M. Paul Young, I said, I think this book should be a movie. He goes, well, we're working on it. But it took 7 or 8 years to become a major motion picture. There's another miracle, or God wink, I call it. But I'm not afraid at this stage to intersect business, life, art, and God. And it's not because I'm trying to preach on people. People can pick and choose. They can engage or disengage or hit next or move on. However, the world's become a very small place. And all these things are starting to intersect. And a lot of companies don't know what to do because you can no longer contain the knowledge because it's open. Or people will find it or they'll research it. You can go to Google. Certain countries that are not, you know, democratic or non-Western per se, they have to really hunt this stuff out. But those listeners are probably very fortunate to be blessed. Yeah, they're probably very fortunate, if you got this, to find it on your own volition pretty easily versus other countries that are still have the borders and walls put up. So bring this point back home. Yes, mindset is essential. These trailblazers are masters at it, but they're also human. It sounds like a contradiction. As you read through this, or you go through the interviews, you're going to catch paradoxes. Paradoxes is a two-sided coin challenge. That what makes them successful is also what maybe people think they're crazy about on the other side of the coin. So I love to find the stories because I call it shared humanity. Shared humanity is, what is someone giving me the gift of their knowledge down the road of life a little farther to help me to avoid, to go through if I'm already going through it, that shared moment in time? Or how do I process it, look in the rearview mirror, called the past? So I know this is not your traditional business book, and it's a change in me. It's a very natural evolution that you said a little while ago, there is no permanence in the human condition. I'm giving you credit for that quote because that is really, really good, Denise. So
this journey
sometimes speeds up. Absolutely. So wherever you might be in the stage of life, yeah, there's a lot of business stories in here. Rightfully so. That was how I first started interviewing, with more business people. But I've shifted down to talking to spiritual people, to actual rock stars, to CEOs, to head coaches, to those that are in the nonprofit space. I get kind of bored. Maybe that's one of the trailblazer traits. Oh, wait, it is. Lifelong learners. I have this quest, almost like an addiction, to keep learning. And I thank God every day, because how can you get bored? Really think of it. How can you get bored in this world?
I
don't understand.
I've heard people say, I'm just so bored. My head almost spins around. It's like, how in the world can you be bored? Go outside and look at the moon. You cannot be bored. You can be restless.
Yep.
You can be irritated. You cannot be bored. I'm sorry. I don't allow that. I don't allow that
yep.
that is even possible. Very strange.
No. There's a couple of thoughts.
Okay,
I know we went a little bit out there, but, you know, like I said, life is not
that's
always scripted.
Okay. No, it's not. And, you know, I suspect because there's so much that I want to ask you, I suspect that I'll invite you back for it in the new year if you'll come back. And we can kind of finish up this conversation. I know you're – oh, thank you. I know you're super busy. You see what I did there? I think I've done this to you before. I do it in, you know, on the air so you can't say, no, Denise, I don't want to. Nah, sorry.
Public accountability.
Tricky.
I've been shamed into coming in that con, but I'm honored. So I'd be honored
that's right.
It's fun.
You have to. Okay. So, but – We've got a lot of questions that I kind of promised the audience at the top of the show, so I want to make my way down there. But one of the questions is why the road to successful leadership often is filled with lots of short-term failure and rejection. And I think that kind of goes back to thick skin, but let's hear what you have to say about it. Because, look, we all fail. And I will tell, and I've said this to Jim Palmer. Look, my attitude, in fact, I think I said it on a podcast where he interviewed me, but my attitude is, you know, we come across barriers, boulders all the time, multiple times during the day, not just once a month
mm-hmm.
or, you know, once in a blue moon. I mean, every day we're going to hit a wall of some description. And my attitude is I can either go around it, under it, blow it up, or ignore it and move on to something else. But I never let it stop me. And I suspect that you've
mm-hmm.
got plenty to say about that.
Well, it's a very deep question. Let me give you a couple perspectives. So, successful leadership, why there's a lot of short-term failure and rejection. A couple things come to mind. First off, humans, change is scary. Let's just put it out there into the light. We are creatures of what? Habit. Most of our habits serve us well. However, as we get older, chronologically or age-wise, those habits sometimes work against us. So a lot of times we get comfortable with our job, our life situation, maybe it's our partner, maybe we get comfortable with our health, and we start to take things for granted. What happens is if a type A moment occurs, divorce papers, business partners embezzling, one of your children gets killed or a partner gets cancer, whatever that type A moment crisis, sometimes we're thrown into change radically. And if you've been around the planet 30, 40, 50 years, you're often going to have several type A moments. Now, you look at leadership, why the failure is going to happen even more as you're putting yourself out there. Here's what's scary for a lot of people, and I've lived through it, and I have these T-shirts called Experience. Look at social media. Everyone's on it. A lot of people are afraid to engage or really put out there what they'd like because they're worried about what I call digital snipers or the critics. We've talked about them earlier. They're everywhere. At some point, you realize, okay, I've got to move forward here if I really believe in the passions there, the intensity. It's at a core soul level. I'm moving forward to be prepared that the arrows are going to be shot right out of the gate. Then you get through it and you go, oh, my God, I'm still alive. It's okay. This is part of the process. And everyone that's in leadership knows kind of quietly, like there's a little like secret handshake, like, hey, welcome to the club. If you're getting a lot of critics, you're probably making big moves or you're making people uncomfortable. Again, most people don't like change. It scares them. So one of the four agreements from the book by Don Miguel Ruiz is to don't take anything personal. It's your second agreement. I try to govern my life on several things each day, but the four agreements has become a staple. I try to monitor governance and how I act and think. Here's the deal. It's tough. There are still some people that say things that will sting and really, really hurt bad. And guess who it usually is, Denise? It's those closest to us. Think about that. And they
I know,
well,
because
I
they feel
say,
like they can.
I mean the best.
Yep.
Yeah, or I mean the best. I'm just
yeah.
looking out for you.
Yeah.
They don't realize
don't take
that
this wrong.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The minute
There's
you start
a
sentence with, oh, don't take this wrong, I will just tell you, just
yep.
stop right now. Just don't even go
yep.
further.
So, yeah, it's difficult. And let me throw this out there on top of it. Watch who you get your advice from. So I do have some mentors and coaches that are paid and some are unpaid to literally kick my butt or to talk me out of things, not because they're negative, they give me some different perspective, because you also get to a point as a trailblazer or a leader where you have too many yes people around you. Oh, you're great. Oh, that's perfect. Oh, we can do that. Oh, you got this, Tony. You got this, Denise. Watch out for that. I am amazed. Sometimes I will get the most powerful feedback that is real and congruent, that's maybe not initially something I want to hear, and I go, thank you for that gift. From the right person with the right intent, that wise counsel is very, very powerful. Now, back to this point about why you're going to fail. Let me give you some examples that are very common around us. Look at the game of baseball. Whether you like baseball or not, it's a game of numbers and statistics. It's built on how often can you fail and then have some success to win games or become a successful player. In Major League Baseball, a 300 hitter, that hitter, out of 10 at-bats, on average, is going to fail 7 times. 3 times, if they're a 300 hitter, they're going to get 3 hits or 3 opportunities of success, but they're going to fail 7 times. If you hit 300 at the highest level called the Major Leagues, you make multi-millions of dollars. Let's drop it down a half of a point. If you hit 250 at the Major League level, you make a few million dollars. That's not all bad. Okay, at the highest level of play, but look at the difference. That means if you round up and you're getting maybe just 3 hits versus maybe 2.5 hits out of 10 at-bats, it's millions of dollars on the line. Still really good money for everybody listening. Like, I wish I had that problem. But to get to that highest level and play and perform at that level is not easy. Like, one out of probably 50,000 people can do it that play baseball, organized. So if you look at that, that ought to give you a clue. Let me look at my walls here in my office. There's artwork all over my walls, from my children's pictures they've given me to actual professional artwork right behind my desk. An artist, go to Picasso. At some point, Picasso had to do his first painting, correct? I bet that painting was probably atrocious to him, but it was a starting point. The Beatles had to do their first gig together, their first opportunity to play. I'm sure they were out of tune. They sounded way out of harmony, but they continued on. Everyone has a starting point. Everyone gets stronger. I call it progressions. Are we progressing upward with our growth, our knowledge, our skill set, our talent, our product or service? Are we innovating? Or are we staying flatline? Do we get too comfortable? So I look at every day and say, how am I progressing in different aspects of the journey, spiritually, health-wise, financially, as a father, as a business partner, as a friend? Did I have a good day where those progressions were helping people? Was I growing? Was I up-leveling? So to me, success is a journey that's littered with tons of no's, lots of rejection, and here's how I level it down in front of a live group. I show a slide. I say, if you're in sales, here's to me how your sales career is probably going to be a summation or a conclusion. You're going to hear thousands of no's, which equal a few hundred yeses, which equal a successful sales career. If you really strip it down from raw core material into a diamond, you know, you get through all the coal and it suppresses down that little diamond. It's the thousands and thousands of, no, we're not interested. Oh, you're crazy, Denise. Are you nuts? Get a job. You're never going to make it. Those are all the critics. Those are some of those no's, those big no's. All of a sudden, someone says, yep, I want to come on your show. Yep, I want to work with you, Denise. Yep, Tony, want to book you for our conference. Truth be told, life is easier this way. I get a lot of referrals for what I do speaking. You mentioned I'm on the road. You see me on Facebook. I do a lot of speaking and teaching because I love it. It's not for everybody because I travel a lot. However, what's not often known, and I share this now with groups the last few months, is out of 10 referrals I might get, okay, in a given period of time to come in and teach or speak, I might get one of those referrals, maybe two, over a 30 to 60-day period to book me. That means that 8 or 9 out of 10 referrals that are highly referred that say, hey, you need to talk to Tony, I don't get Denise. That's a huge amount of failure on the surface. I don't take it personal. There's all sorts of variables that I know the numbers. Tony, you got to keep hustling. You got to keep reaching out. You got to act like a hungry rookie with you and your team, because it's not easy. Professional speaking and teaching, which I've been doing full-time for 14 years, is a tough, tough business. Not for the faint of heart. And sometimes I forget, you know what? I hustle every day to reach out to people and follow up on referrals the best I can. Again, I'm not perfect, but those numbers are pretty tough, Denise. And if someone doesn't have thick skin, does that sound familiar, the 7th trait? Or 2, persistence. You know, or 3, the vision. These traits, I utilize them every day myself. The vision is, you know what? I got to get through these no's. I got to get the rejection email, the rejection voicemail. We went with somebody else and keep moving to the next group that says, hey, let's bring you in. So I'm a product of this book. Many of the stories touch me deeply at a soul level because I've been through some of those stories. I've lived some of those rejection moments. I have not had a perfect past. And God help me, if I had a perfect past, I'd probably not make much change. Think of that. I've got to be out pushing the needle.
Well, right. I mean, isn't that what we, as humans, aren't we supposed to stretch our boundaries? I mean, why would we just kind of
sit
and... Yeah, I know. And so many people are like, oh, you know, Tony makes it look so easy. Denise makes it look so easy. Tony Robbins, come on. I mean, he's perfect in every way. And people forget that we get up every morning and scratch our heads and go, oh, boy, let's go. Let's kick this day into high gear. Let's get moving. And at the end of the night, and this is my next question, so remind me, pull me back. I want to know when you have these talks with yourself. I'm guessing at the end of the night. But we stumble all day long. We succeed all day long. It's, I think, at the end of the evening and you do a sum total of what you did during the day, that's when you find the strength to get up the next day and do it all over again.
Yeah. Well, there's a quote that a gentleman in the network marketing industry, Jordan Adler, said, this is probably 10 years ago, I was at a conference for a group called Send Out Cards. I love the product. Not here to pitch it, but here's the one thing I took away from his talk. He's a brilliant teacher. He said, never quit on a bad day. And I thought, man, simple, profound wisdom. And I think it dovetails wonderfully into what you just stated is, you know, if you're really having a tough decision, and you had two or three bad days in a row, don't quit on the third day. Get that time to reset. Go pray, go meditate, go take a walk, go in the garden, and really ponder before you make that hard call because it's the wrong timing. It's emotionally centric. You're not balancing emotion, spiritual component, and logic in one. You're letting that bad day defeat you. And it's just,
yeah.
I look at the fact that there's pictures in my office. I have visuals all over my office, and it's beautiful to be off the road for a little bit. Is there's a picture of me about 5 years old. I'm looking at it right now. I'm pointing at it if you could see me. And I'm in this really goofy outfit from the mid-70s. And it's me with this big grin on my face with my dimple. And I look at it, and it reminds me on the phone to sometimes release the grip, laugh a little bit, enjoy this game. Because how you play the game is everything. And not get so damn serious. And for many years in my 30s, I'm 46 years old right now. But in my 30s, starting to sing out, I was going to be the next great big speaker, and I got to go rah, rah. I'm going to go big, big, and you know, the watch out world, rah, rah, rah. And I changed. And I went, wait a minute, that's not me anymore. It doesn't mean my drive's not there. It's a different degree. But I wasn't having as much fun in my late 30s with it. There was a major life change or two, and I said, you know what? You got to stop and reassess this. Don't quit speaking and teaching. It's your passion. God said, that's your gift. Go teach. However, I started to doubt myself. I started to think, I need to change some things to get that fun back in, that childlike curiosity, okay? You remember we talked about number four, lifelong learning. From the book, that childlike curiosity has been a blessing the last couple of years to get it back. I'm like, don't forget to have some fun with us because, like you said a few minutes ago, Denise, this could be the day. You know, we could hang up the phone and, God forbid, I walk out and a rock falls on me, a meteorite, and it's over. This is the final interview with Denise Griffith. Kidding aside, We take every day sometimes for granted. It's like, this is it. This is the power of now, as Eckhart Tolle teaches. It doesn't mean we're reckless with the day and we say, I got to live everything out today because it could be it at midnight. But when the head hits the pillow.
No, don't eat all the chocolate
now. Yep. When the head hits the pillow, then I say, thank you, God. I hope I did the best I could. As they say in Wall Street, you know, the advances far outgain the losses. I'd rather have more wins or more of a successful momentum each day than setbacks. And if you have a week, the way I assess it in my own mind, my personal viewpoint, if I have more good days throughout the week than bad, it's been a pretty good week as far as overall assessment.
Exactly. Or during the day. And that takes me back to, you know, my earlier question, because you were talking about, you know, how you kind of assess where you're at, where you're going, and, you know, how you are as a father, how you are as a leader, how you are as a teacher. Is this something that you do maybe before you go to bed or go to sleep?
It's a great question. Yes, and also this, in the morning. The morning, I call these the bookends.
Okay.
It's a little-known technique I've learned. The bookends of the day are the start of the day and the end of the day. And how you start the day, and I've learned this from many trailblazers, really sets the direction. Does not mean the day is going to go perfect by any means. One of the interviews I did was with Jay Papasan, who wrote The One Thing with Gary Keller from Keller Williams fame. He didn't make the book. Believe me, there are a lot of great interviews that did not make this book. However, there's going to be more books, God willing. Okay, but Jay said something that just astounded me. Basically, the one thing is, what is your core gift or talent you should do every day that come hell or high water has to be scheduled in to become a habit? And something that sets the entire day is when you wake up, how you structure. Some people do prayer meditation. Some do I am affirmations. Some do their goals. Some review. Some put on soft music. Some pray. Some go walk, do physical fitness. Those habits of when you wake up the first 30 to 60 minutes are essential to overall success throughout the rest of the day. Jim Rohn would say, when you play back the tapes, I can hear him like I was a little kid in my 20s again, as a young buck in the industry, he would say, play back the tapes at the end of the day. And that's really a recap. Something I do, again, it's to each person their own, is I go and I do gratitude at night again. I say, thank you, God, for this. And I run down my list of thanking people. I see pictures of my children, my friends, business clients. I know this sounds a little bit out there, but it's a great way, no matter how tired or how wide awake I am, is to reset the brain, to put myself into a state of sleep and rest with positive things occurring, not my fears. And for many years, I used to do the opposite. I'd be like, oh, my God, I got to pay this bill. Oh, no. You go to bed frantic. Guess what happens to your sleep? It's not rest. It's restlessness.
I know. And I did the same thing, and I do the same thing. That's why I wanted to ask you. In the mornings, my first thought, honestly, is that of gratitude. It's like, woohoo, I made it. Ah, let's go.
Yep.
Because you just never know. Remember that child prayer, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. It's like,
yep.
I thought that was a terrible prayer. It scared the crap out of me every time somebody said it.
Well, Denise, I'm going to throw it out there because this is one that I picked up the last few months from another teacher, and it's stuck. As I wake up and, you know, literally I open my eyes and say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I say that just, thank you. And that's how we set.
Yeah.
We go in my head. I'm like, I look up and I go, I'm still here. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, I do the same thing. And I raise my arms to the ceiling fan because I love my ceiling fan. But, you know, and I always, you know, say thank you. And I do. I love my ceiling fan. You know, this is another odd thing that I've noticed. I love water. It's my favorite beverage. I love water. I think it's life-giving. I don't like sweet things or drinks. And every time, and I don't know when I started this, it has to be a lifelong habit. And it just, you know, kind of, because I do it, I don't think about it. But recently I've been noticing it. Every time I take a drink of water, it's like, oh, I love water. And I do. And instantly I feel refreshed. It doesn't matter if it's a small sip or if I've gulped down a whole, you know, big old jug of it. It doesn't matter. I love water, and I'm so grateful for it. And you know what? It loves me back. So there you go.
Let me say this, too. This is an advanced point. Thank you for that. Because water is an essential element of life. There's no life without water, okay? What happens is when you have a state of gratitude, this interview is kind of taking a different direction, more almost like gratitude.
It always does. We do this every time.
Yep. If you look at gratitude and fear, really can't coexist. And one of the simplest ways to trick your brain, because you have to try your best to manage it each day, okay, is to sit down and write a gratitude list. Or look at your vision board, or go take a walk outside and be thankful that you have fresh air, that you can walk, you have health. People take their health for granted. Millions of people don't have their health, and they would give anything to have what you take for granted by walking outside, for example, or taking a run. But when you go into a state of gratitude, it helps override your fear, your anxiety. It's one of the best kind of known public secrets that you can't sell it in a bottle. God forbid you have to pay for this. It's a gift you can give yourself, is to override the monkey mind, the fear, stop a minute and do a self-assessment, grab a pen and paper, go take a walk, however you deem what's acceptable in that moment to override that mindset. Gratitude is a great elixir that all ancient leaders and wise thinkers have known. We tend to forget it, so utilize it every day.
And it doesn't have to be anything huge. I mean, you don't have to sit down and write a paragraph or recite a mantra. It can be as simple as, man, I love water. I mean, I like the taste. Mm-hmm. I like the way it feels. I like ice. I mean, I like all of it. And I noticed that. I don't know when I started thinking that, probably all of my life, but recently, and there's got to be a reason, and I'll figure it out, but it's coming into my brain a lot. So, you know, it's leading me somewhere. I just don't know where, you know, but it's just an interesting thing to watch. But like you, I used to fall asleep at night going, oh, my gosh, I forgot something. 3:18, wake up. Oh, my gosh, I forgot something. And I would have this whole to-do list that I would assign myself before I would go to sleep or try to sleep. It's not one of my skills. Let's just put it that way. I'm very skilled in a lot of ways. Sleeping, not so much. But when I switched that to what you're talking about and said, you know, I had some crummy moments during the day. And, man, that email I got from this person that set me so on edge that I wanted to bite the cat's tail, I'm over that now. But, you know, if you switch that around and you say, I'm not going to worry about it, but I am so grateful for this, 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 and this. And then I added another component to it because you always have a sticky problem at the end of the day. There's always that one thing that you could not batter into submission or you couldn't work it out. Mm-hmm. And I will literally turn that over to my subconscious for review, and the answer's there when I wake up at 3:18. So, you know, talking to yourself in a positive way, questioning yourself in a positive way with gratitude really does change how you operate in this world. I agree with you.
Awesome. Well, what did I say? You are who you associate with, and like attracts like. So
yes.
This is interesting, the interview. I always love when we get a chance to connect because there's a lot of similarities, obviously. And it's fun.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
It can go quickly. We've got to have fun doing these. I do so many interviews. I'm always grateful. I know some stand out more than others, and every time we get the chance to connect, it's like, oh, here we go. My hands warmed up. I'm like, ooh, this is going to be fun.
And it always is because, I mean, you have so much to share, and I love chatting with you. And I really do need you to come back because, I mean, we've only got about 2 minutes. There were so many different things that I wanted to ask you about the book, you know, the power of focus, and you did talk about the 9-second attention span a little bit and ways to respond and deal with doubt, adversity, criticism. You touched on that a bit. Strategies. This is some of the big ones that I wanted to ask you about. Strategies to help reinvent a business or a career, and time management. That's a biggie, and that's going to go back, I think, to, you know, us always being pulled in a million different directions, and it's going to get worse. Setbacks. I mean, there's just so much from the book that, you know, I would love for you to come back and share. So we'll get you back on in the new year.
Right,
I think
now,
I'm open for January, February.
Let's do it. Let's look at January, February. I'll reach out over the next few days,
okay,
and we'll set the next date. And, you know, we can hit more of those specific areas. But I figured today we'd be a little more broad brush. And if we got through it all, great.
Yep.
If not, we'd have fun regardless.
Exactly. Well, listen, before we run out of time, tell people where they can find all of your books. And if there was anything that I missed that you want people to know about you at the top of the intro, share that with us right now if you would.
Well, a huge thank you from the Northlands down to your neck of the woods, first off. Real easy. If they would like to find out, you go to Amazon. The easiest way to get the Trailblazer book is to go to mindcapturebook.com. It's a separate web page we have. Here's why. We have some different bonuses available, so go to mindcapturebook.com. The new book is called Trailblazers, Leadership Lessons from 12 Pioneers Who Beat the Odds and Influenced Millions. That's the one we're out touring into this year and next year. And I want to give everybody an invitation. I mean, Denise, you know, you mentioned a couple times is join me online. Mind Capture is my Facebook business page. Instagram, I'm on there, at Tony Rubleski. And that will continue to get larger and grow. It's fascinating to me because some people are like, hey, when are you going to be on the road? Well, watch online. I'll put updates there. But we have 40-plus cities planned for 19, God willing, one day at a time, to be touring and do. So I put a lot of those announcements up with our team on social media in real time. And we also have blogs available, but mindcapturebook.com. And then the main page is mindcapturegroup.com. So you put in those words and you can find me. And love to have some contact and stay in touch. And if anything, I'm always trying to push value out there and say, hey, here's some great information that can help improve your life. So it's not always about me, me, me. There's a lot of stuff that people follow me for because I put articles on referrals, leadership, customer service. How do you sell more effectively? How do you lead more effectively? And we've got archives and archives like you do, Denise, with your show, where people engage me for different needs. So there you go.
Thank you. Tony, it has been such a pleasure talking with you again. And I honestly didn't think I was going to be able to get you on this year because of your schedule. And I'm so grateful
Thank
that you.
You
made time with all that you've got going on. And I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and the advice that you've shared with our audience. But before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Tony, thank you so much, and we'll talk again soon.
My pleasure. Happy Christmas.
You can find it. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Web.com
or at gotta go. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.